All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to Grow Track 3. This is awesome. Grow Track 3, you finally got to the last of the tracks. So that's something to celebrate right there. So that's good stuff. Just want to welcome everybody in tonight, and thank you all for coming. On your tables is a sign-in sheet. I believe it's a blue and white form. Make sure y'all sign that in every week. So every week when you come in, instead of checking in like at front like we used to at the tables, you'll just come into your table and just sign in and check in there right there at the table. And then your table leader will pick those up. There's also another form for the table host that's a green and white form. If y'all will pass that around and sign it as well so that your table host can contact you during the week. Excuse me. The table host for this table is Rayla. The table host back here is Pam Elliser, and then we've got Jeremy Pyatt in the back. So those will be your table hosts for your tables, and so each week you'll be getting an email or text message from them, maybe a phone call or two. So just checking on you, praying on you throughout the week. If you have anything that you need during the week, reach out to them, and we'll be praying for everybody. Well, I'm excited for y'all to be here. I'm excited that we're getting the movement going again. I don't know about y'all, but being off makes me want to come back and do something. So that the off period is it gets kind of long. So I like being back in the spring of things. So one thing I do want to let everybody know is as far as the dates go, if you want to plug into your calendar, there's a couple dates that we need to be aware of. March 13th is the spring break week. Spring break week, there will be no class. So that Wednesday night, March 13th, no class. And then at the end of the Grow Track is going to be April 24th will be our last Wednesday, and we're going to do it a little bit different than we did last semester with Grow 3, and we're going to do a Grow Track celebration. So this Grow Track celebration is going to be Grow Tracks 1, 2, and 3 all together in the chapel for the last Wednesday night, and that's going to be April 24th. So April 24th will be the last Wednesday, and that's going to be a Grow Track celebration, and we'll have a commissioning ceremony for all the Grow 3 graduates. So it's very important that you make each week so that you can be a part of that and graduate this end of this semester. As we go into this semester, our focus for Grow Track 3 is living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. So as we are being obedient to God and walking a Christ-like life, it cost us something. There's sacrifice involved with that, but the sacrifice or the blessings that God gives us far outweighs the cost that it costs us to walk with God. So that's our focus for Grow 3 is living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. Which brings me to Mark 8, 34 through 35. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." And that's Mark 8, 34, 35. So again, we just want to welcome everybody. We're going to have some great teaching tonight from Jason Soule. We're excited about that. Just make sure everybody signs in, and I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we just come to you today. We thank you for all the many blessings you've given us, Father. We thank you for everybody in this room, Father, for their yearning to learn more, Father, and to gain more knowledge of you, Father. We just ask that you let us come in tonight with open arms or open ears and open hearts to just receive your word today, Father. I just ask that you remove any distractions as we've all had a busy day, Father, that you just remove any distractions that we have so we can just have supernatural focus to focus on you during this time as we have together, Father. We just ask that you be with Jason as he brings the message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Jason.
Well, good evening, everybody. Hey, yeah. Thanks for that. I'm going to do some little getting myself situated here for just a second, so bear with me. It is 7:06. What time do we should I be looking at being done here, Jeremy? 8:05, so about, I'm going to set my timer for 50 minutes, so I give myself about 10 minutes leeway. If I don't do that, we don't know when we're going to get out of here. I told my wife, I said, I don't exactly know what I'm going to talk about, so it may not last very long. And she said, you could talk for an hour about your shoelaces. So I'm hopeful that we have something good to say. If you guys want to join a table, my whole idea behind this class and just about any class or classroom setting that I'm in is to make it as conversational as possible. Not only you conversing with me, but you conversing with the people at your table. And so there will be times that I'll ask you to kind of think about a question or think about something that's been said, and then turn to somebody nearby you, maybe just one person or maybe the whole table, and just kind of take a few minutes and just dialogue about it. Because this is not just me downloading information to you. Trust me, you don't want that. This is a conversation. You know, this is a conversation centered around something that a journey that we're all on. And if you don't know me, I'll introduce myself, and then I'd like to get to know you a little bit too before we dive into stuff. My name is Jason Soule, and I'm currently the assistant principal at Central Elementary School. And before that, I was the kids pastor here when it was Lufkin First Assembly. And so it was about, this is my fifth year at Central, so it was about 5 years ago. It's before Jonathan was the kids pastor, and I was here for 4 years. And I was here when they built the kids center. So I was part of that whole process. It was a fantastic process to be part of. And before I came here, my family and I lived in Wichita, Kansas. And I was a private school administrator there. And prior to Wichita, Kansas, I grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota. Graduated high school and college in Bismarck, North Dakota. And so we've been moving to Texas. It just took us a while to get here, you know. But God really started to kind of get a hold of my life right before I moved to Kansas. I really became broken for God. One morning, my wife and I lived in a tiny town outside of Bismarck. She was a brand new teacher, and I was just finishing up my senior year of college. And we were going to this tiny little Nazarene church, right? And about 30 people at this church. And it's easy to think, you know, what's a tiny church have to offer? Well, it has a lot to offer. It has Jesus to offer. And we were, we went on the Sunday, and the Monday morning, I woke up early to make the drive about an hour into Bismarck to go to school. And for some reason, I woke up thinking about what the pastor said the day before. And I couldn't tell you to this day what he said. All I knew is that it was churning in my heart. And I stopped at the gas station and I got my jug of coffee. And I got my little Saturn and I hit the highway. And I was driving down the road and it just kept stirring and it kept stirring and it kept stirring. And I suddenly had a vision of me being a drowning man. And one of the things that I had heard before is that lifeguards, especially in the ocean, like open water lifeguards, if there is somebody that's drowning, they will go out to the person to save them. But if they're really thrashing around, they'll actually wait till the person begins to drown in order to save them. And then they'll grab them and pull them, because it's not until they pass out or stop thrashing around that they can be saved. Otherwise, a thrashing person will drag the lifeguard down as well. And I just kind of thought, that is really, really a kind of a vivid mental picture for me. And I just had that picture in my head. Of me being that drowning man. And that Jesus was just sitting there waiting for me to stop struggling. And big old crocodile tears just started pouring out of my eyes to the point where I couldn't even drive. I had to pull off to the side of the road. And I just, bleh. And I just said, God, I give up. I'm not going to struggle. You can have it. You can have my heart. You can have my life. And that was the beginning of my journey. And you're probably going to hear a lot more about my journey throughout this grow track, because part of what you'll learn and what you'll kind of not learn, what I'm hoping you will adopt in the next couple months is the same thing, the same process that I went through, the same process that I'm currently going through. Because it's not just what you know. It's how you've been broken and how you are willing to be broken and how you are willing to be broken continually. And that's part of the things that we're going to be talking about. This idea of being filled with the Spirit. Being broken before God. Not just be broken. Once, singularly, but it's a process, a continual process. And you know, I'm telling my story of the first time I was broken before God, and I realized just now that it's been a long time since I told that story. Because something else that I think I need to say up front is that this idea of being broken before God, this idea of jumping in and wanting more, is not a safe prospect. There is nothing safe about going all in with God. There are no guarantees about going all in with God that you're going to be unhurt. Scars happen. Wounds happen. But I thank God that He continues to be faithful in spite of my wounds and my scars. And again, like I said, that's going to be more of the story. That we'll unpack more of that story as time goes on. Because in a way, I was joking with my wife on the way over here, and I said, I think Talia was very irresponsible asking me to teach this Grow Track 3. Because I have got a story. Especially my last 5 years has been a story. But in a way, I think that's what she wants. I think that she wants you to hear an unfiltered Jason. And if you're okay with that, then I'm okay with that. I want to be unfiltered with you. I want to be honest with you. I want to tell you the gory details sometimes about what it means to really go all in. Because my family and I did go all in. But before we do that, before we go any further, I want to know about you. I want to know your name. I won't remember it, probably, if I don't know it already. But I want to know it anyway. I'm glad that you're all wearing name tags. But I want to know your name. I want to know kind of who you are. And I want to know why you're here. Okay? Just a real kind of simple process. What did I say? Your name, who you are, why you're here. Okay? Anybody volunteer to go first? Guys in the back. Okay, Mark.
Can't remember my name. Think what Harold Dog sounds like. Can you remember my name?
I like that word, obstacles. It's a big word. It's a big word. We're going to talk more about that tonight. So who are you?
Who am I? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a baker. Okay. Have been for 47 years. That's where our bakery industry comes in our family. We own Grando Baking Company, but I don't work there. I'm just one of the ones that help every once in a while. I work for a food broker. Just nothing really special, you know, other than just special in front of God. You know what I mean? I just like to do what I do.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
I'm JR. So why am I here? I love our church. I'm a product of relationships and the programs and the things our church has. And I think it's we can never take where we're at for granted. And so we have to always want more. And I love this process. And I love, even as a lifelong Christian, and I still learn stuff in these classes. They've been really good for me. Sometimes we get where we're living life in a rut, and it's easy to be a Christian. You talk about it being challenging, and it's not easy. And I think I'm in one of those places where what I'm doing is easy. I don't feel stretched or pulled, and I just, I don't drink or swear and hang around people that do, and I just, you're just in that easy lane. I'm enjoying the process. Who am I? So I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I like to have fun and not take stuff too serious.
Long walks on the beach. Shrimp. Especially all you can eat. No, I'm sorry. That was me. you said something that I really identified with. I can't remember your exact words, but you mentioned about moving forward or staying put. Or there is no staying put. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. It's kind of like a boat on a lake. It's not going to stay in one spot. It's going to drift. We drift. And either if we're not propelled in a direction, we will drift away from our destination. And I think I hear you saying, JR, that you want to be propelled in a direction. And I think that's fantastic. Appreciate that. That's who you're not.
I'm in here just basically to try to figure out how to get me out of the way. That's my biggest, I guess, obstacle.
There you go. Yeah, you guys could be teaching this course. Yeah. I mean, when it comes, break it all down. That's it. Now, saying it and doing it, two very different things, but I appreciate that. All right.
My name is Jeremy. I'm coming through GoTrack 3 again. I'm a table leader this time. Came through last time. And I'm excited to come through it the second time. I have a tendency to stay in a cave. My own cave, because it's safe in there, and so I think the Lord's prompt let me know. I had somebody tell me that I was going to miss it, and the Holy Spirit kind of blew that up for me and said, "Jeremy, I got some stuff for you. You're going to miss it, right?" I had timetable on it, so I'm kind of coming out of the cave to get going again. One of the interesting things it's funny because it. One of the interesting things about being in the cave is there's no wind because you're protected, right? You stay there, but you're not moving anywhere. So it's interesting you talk about movement and being propelled.
Yeah.
You come out of the cave, you start doing stuff, and you start getting buffeted in different directions and things, and you're like, oh, I forgot what it's like out here. I
I forgot about that, you know. And
it's, absolutely.
But at the same time, it feels good to not be in the cave. Mm-hmm. So I'm a father and a husband, and I'm excited to move forward and help people at the table and be part of the group and get things going. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I get excited about it, even though I'm not in the cave. So there you go.
Have you ever stood in a storm and just let the rain fall on your face? Has anybody done that? Or am I the only crazy one? I mean, it's a little bit out there when you stop and think about it, but it feels so good. But it's a storm. There is something about being exposed and being vulnerable that is cathartic, that is good for the soul. And it's another thing that we're going to be talking about. Appreciate it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Okay. My name is Pam, and I'm a mother of four as well. I only have one at home right now, but I do have four of them. I'm here because it's been a journey since September a year ago when God basically guided me to this church. And I'm like, that first day I was here, I think the whole time I was in service, I was like, I can't remember what he said. But I was crying the whole time. I was actually here to judge the barbecue contest I had. I've been here ever since. And I was on this, God had me on this, he had such a passion in me to grow and learn. And I found my way into Grow Tracks the next week, which I'd already started, I think it was week three.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't stop. There's just such a desire for me to keep growing and growing. It's like you never can get enough. And this is my second time through here. It's the time as a table host.
Neat.
I'm super excited even now to even do it again.
Mm.
Because there's just so much out there. And there's so much he wants you to learn. He loves you so much. And he just wants you to grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's been amazing.
That's fantastic. I'm super excited for you. Because I know the season that you're in, it's a season of growth. Mm-hmm. But it's a season. And I don't want to ever be a downer, but enjoy the season. Make the most of the season. You know, you read in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament has a lot to say about how to make the most of your seasons, how to gather your crops and store that for when the season is not going to be so good. And I thank God that you found this church. I don't think it was an accident. Yeah.
There was not an accident.
That's because I think that this church is committed to helping you store during that season of growth.
They say give you a year, it'll change your life. They're not kidding.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cannot wait to hear more about that. All right. Okay.
I'm Lorena. Who am I? By day, I'm a nurse. At night, I'm mom. I have five children and Mimi to one, one grandbaby. And why am I here? Well, so I lead like an insanely crazy life on a daily basis with five children. And I mean, there's just craziness. So every program that we have, every grow track, every class we go through, you pick up like a tool that keeps you slightly grounded in your crazy. And so, like, I want to pick up every tool there is to keep me grounded.
I love it. Excellent.
I might have to repeat a couple. My
dad always told me, sharpen your swords. He said, God gives you swords, and it's up to you to sharpen them. They won't stay sharp. They might get dull, especially if you use them a lot.
Yeah.
But then again, if you use them a lot, they should stay sharp. It's not a perfect analogy, but not a perfect metaphor, but I think I liked it. Anyway, next person. Yes, ma'am.
And going through Grow Track, even though I had been in church my whole life and been a Christian for well over 55 years, I have learned so much going through Grow Track. And I've been in good Bible teaching churches. And so I appreciate what this church has to offer. And I always think back to when we were having one of our first campaigns to grow our church, and it was making room for the table.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about we were going to make room for the people who were to come. And I remember thinking at the time, because JR and CJ were little kids, and I was thinking, okay, I'm making room for daughter-in-law someday, for grandchildren someday, mm-hmm. for friends someday. And the truth of the matter is, almost every friend I have is a new friend because of the growth of this church and what this church has brought to our community.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for that. And I am excited because I am going to be, I'm going to get another grandchild. It's not JR's, but I am going to, just know where to start, but I am going to miss a couple of weeks during the class because I am going to Pennsylvania.
We'll excuse you.
Everything. But I'm thankful for what this has to offer. And no matter how old we get or how young we are in the Lord or in age, this church has something to offer for us.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. You know, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of wonderful teaching churches out there that will give you a lot of knowledge about the Bible. But, you know, there's something special about the church that'll give you not only head knowledge, but the heart knowledge, too. You know, let you experience God. And I just thank God for that. Okay.
Uh-huh. And I didn't know nothing, because, you know, I never. So, I met on weekends at Pinecrest. So, Jolene's mom was in Pinecrest, and something told me to go talk to her. I didn't know anything about her being, you know, in this church or anything. And I asked her about the different churches that's around here, and she said, well, what about Timber Creek? And I'm like, I already go to that. And I said, but do you know about Starting Point? She said, sure, we do. Come to Starting Point. And so I've been going to Starting Point and I work my way through
the track. Awesome. And you're talking about Jolene that works at the mailbox, mailbox, the post office, Jolene. Yeah, Jolene's never met a stranger. She's awesome. Oh no, that's funny. I knew Jolene before she knew me, and I would go in and I would send packages at the post office, and I said Jolene, and she'd go, hey, don't know him. And then she saw me at church one day, and she went, hey. That's great. Okay, a few more.
So I'm here for that, to get in deeper with him. We are also, my husband and I, with our new pastor over in the Spanish church, Pastor Edgar asked us to the coordinators coordinate and coach starting point in Spanish. So we're beginning that, and I feel that this will help us to do that. And we'll be dealing with a lot of, you know, people and things and trying to get all that going. And I feel that starting point is just the beginning for our Spanish congregation. Mm. We want to also introduce, I feel like everyone, I don't know, to me, everyone needs GrowTrack.
Mm-hmm.
This course is awesome. We've just been amazed at every, we started with one, you know, two, and now three, and it just, keeps getting better with each one.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So you see a ministry opportunity kind of opening up in front of you. You want to be prepared for that. Oh, that's great. Okay.
I'll go. I am Carrie. I am that drowning man. I could have swore you were looking into my life. I'm a dialysis nurse with a stress level beyond anything right now, and I'm doing good to sit here, but I want to grow, so I know I'm here where I need to be.
Good.
And I'm usually happy all the time, but my stress level is through the roof right now.
I'm glad you're here.
Okay, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
I am. All right.
My name is Andrea, and I'm here because, to be honest, I feel like I've been wasting my God-given potential, and I couldn't do it without these classes, you know. And so I feel like, I was just telling my friend, he's in GrowTrack 1, I was like, I feel like a teenager, high school teenager, and like a dumb high school teenager, and every year or every class has helped me grow, you know, and get to that where you're a senior, you're more mature, and that you can use, you know, what you've learned in each class. And I'm like him, like I feel like I've been trying to do it on my own and for many years, and you can't, you gotta have some testimonies, you know, witnessing people talking about their experience just to kind of not be afraid to take the next step.
Absolutely.
You know,
all right. Okay. Let's start filling in some blanks. Woo! Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, I do care. Oh, and then you guys too. You have to do your thing. Okay, we still have three more people. Sorry. Go ahead, Rayla.
No, I'm Rayla. This is my second time going to GrowTrack as a host this time. By day, mom, regulator for the state of Texas. Really loved this process. I've been a Christian my whole life, and it's just opened my eyes to stuff I've just never thought about, or in a way I've never thought about. Mm-hmm. Also, the pastor's been saying connection before correction. Because I'm a regulator, it's hard for me to do that, but it's been amazing what God's opened in the last just year going through this, and then what, I don't know, it all together, it's been crazy. It's awesome. So the season stuff, though, I was in that dark season. And
yeah. New light. Very cool.
Too far away. I'm a counselor at Anderson Elementary, and why am I here? First, I'm here to hear my husband teach. It's not like to hear him teach. But no, I'm excited to be a part, and I texted Talia today. I said, I didn't go to GrowTrack 1 and 2, but can I go to 3 where Jason is? Yeah, of course. So I'm sorry, I'm breaking the rules. I cheated. I'm kind of over here like,
So, if you didn't notice a little earlier, Steven passed Carly the tranquilizer gun. So, if I get too crazy, she's going to tranquilize me and she'll take over the class. Okay? The blanks. Right. Let's move along. Carly is a blank filler outer. I am not. She fills in the blanks for both of us. All right. Steven, would you like to participate?
I'm Steven. My husband and dad first. But on staff here at the church, love Grow Track 3. Now that I've gone through all three of them, I love this one the best. I really do. Just getting to teach some of all three. Got to teach a lot in this one last semester. And, you know, God gripped my heart with exactly what we're talking about tonight, the abiding in Christ. A couple of years ago, just really gripped me with that. And so I think just that's what I love about three, just kicking off with that, starting with that, and just the process, the path you walk through and grow through. It's challenging, it's tough, but it's so good. I'm excited just to hear Jason and the perspective. Just already, woo, the perspective you're bringing to is different than what we had last semester, so I'm excited.
Well, excellent. I've never been accused of being like everybody else. He's so boring! Nope.
My name is Jeremy Sharbo. Husband, got five kids.
Wow.
So I feel Lorena with the kid thing. Which I don't know where half of mine are half of mine. Went through Grow 3 last semester, went through all the Grow tracks. Pastor Steven asked me to be back in Grow 3 this semester as the coach, and so I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to have some just to go back through it. I mean, it's an awesome class. I'm a, like JR, I'm a product of Timber Creek Church. I mean, I've went through the classes and I grew up a Christian, and I really don't feel like I had a relationship with God until I came here. And so I can't get enough of it, you know. So every opportunity there is, I want to be a part of it. So just enjoying it, and I heard you were teaching it, so I was like, I gotta be here.
Hey, no pressure, none taken. Max.
Well, I'm Max. I've been sales associate for Fast Moms. I've been going to this church for 22 years. I am 22 years old. I started off, why I'm in this class, I was real young at the time. Even younger. Who remembers their first time trying to talk to God? Who remembers that? Like, actually by yourself trying to talk to God, how awkward it was. Mm-hmm. It was just so awkward. And I would try multiple times, wouldn't work out. It was like a bad relationship trying to hold together. And between me and God, I felt like I was talking to the air. And at one point I just shouted out, because I was mad at him. I was like, can't there just be some, like, I don't know, how do I talk to you? Teach me how to talk to you. Mm. Something like that. Then Grow Tracks happened. about a month later. So that was why I joined. And as I joined that through the tracks, that relationship, that awkwardness faded. It became more something of an actual friend, I guess you could say. I was able to solve problems that I couldn't before then because I didn't know how to have a relationship with God. And now I'm just trying to discover who I am in Him.
Ooh. Ooh. That's good. My dad is probably one of the biggest influencers of my spiritual life. And he would give me little nuggets of truth. He's very good at, he's a gifted teacher, honestly. And he would give me very complex ideas broken down in very bite-sized pieces. And one of the things he used to tell me all the time, he used to say, listen, if you need wisdom, ask for wisdom. And, well, that's actually a scripture. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously. But that has been easily one of the most influential things in my spiritual life. So if you get nothing else from tonight, from me, get that. And Max basically hit the nail on the head when he said, teach me how to talk to you. Well, yeah, just ask. All you have to do is ask. And go figure. God answers prayer. And there's been countless times that, well, my dad used to tell this story. Oh, boy. My dad used to say, used to tell a story about how he used to fix up our cars, okay? And so there's one time when he was really having a difficult time with the car. And he was so frustrated, and I would hear him throwing his tools around in the garage every now and then when he was trying to fix a car and be like, don't, let's not go talk to dad right now. But there was one time when he was so frustrated, he sat down and he just said, God, give me the wisdom to fix this car. And I'm sure he said it just like that. But he said in the next moment, the next breath, he suddenly went, I know how to fix this car. He just went and he went right in and did it. And he said, it really is that practical. If there's anything that you need wisdom for, ask God. God, I have no idea how to talk to this group of people. I have no idea how to conduct this meeting. I have no idea what to do for this patient. I have no idea, fill in the blank. And God will honor that prayer 100% of the time. It's one of the few guarantees that I will give about God, because I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again that he will honor that. And thank you, Max. Okay, let's fill in some blanks. All right, first I'm going to read this little portion of the teacher tip, because I think it's good. The theme of Grow Track 3 is living lives of deep obedience that costs us something. Let me tell you something. That word, deep obedience, it kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. It's hard for me to swallow. Not that it's not true. It's absolutely true. That's what God's calling us to, is deep obedience. But it is hard. And I'd be lying if I told you it's not hard. But deep obedience, that costs us something. This final semester of Grow Track focuses on pursuing an even deeper relationship with God, dying to ourselves. There we go again. Another one that is super, super hard. Dying to ourselves is, let me put it very simply, it's ceasing to be who you are and adopting who you are in God. And there are some identities that we have about ourselves that need to die. And we need to adopt the identity that God has for us. That's the whole process of dying to ourselves. And I don't know about you, but that makes me sweat a little bit. This whole idea of ceasing to be who I am and adopting who I am in Christ. Stay tuned. Dying to ourselves and surrendering all to him. So much easier said than done. So that we can truly discern his will for us and discover the path to our God-given potential. Potential. Another word that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. Grow Track 3 is designed to stretch students in their walk with Christ like never before. In order to truly experience the abundant life God has for us, we must be fully surrendered to him and fully committed to his calling on our lives. We were going to talk a lot about calling. And I have kind of a unique perspective when it comes to calling, because I have really felt a strong calling, let's be honest, throughout my life. I was going to say at a certain point in my life, but to be honest, I still feel a calling. One of the reasons why I agreed to do this. Now, a life of deep obedience and surrender flows out of deep relationship. That's a word I like. This first section of GrowTrack 3 teaches students how to abide in God's presence, use the right tools to gain a deeper understanding of His Word, and develop in a lifestyle of prayer and fasting that will enable them to engage spiritual warfare and see powerful, victorious results. Everybody say, powerful!
Powerful.
Victorious!
Victorious!
Results!
Results.
You didn't say it like I said it. Now, a key word that I'm going to use a lot is this word vulnerability. You don't have to be vulnerable to God. I will give you that out right now. You can sit through this entire time and choose not to be vulnerable to God. Many Christians are not vulnerable to God. But there is a word for that. It's called fruitlessness. And these Christians that are not vulnerable to God have a tendency to suck up nutrients of the Spirit of God but never make themselves available to God's movement. Movement, right? Propulsion. And this idea of vulnerability is kind of wrapped up in this idea, well, it goes hand in hand with this idea of abiding. Now, the key scripture for today, abide in me. Oh, this is a New King James Version. I'll jump down to the Message Version. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up, thrown on a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who He is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Now there's one word in that scripture right there that I really kind of want to camp out on, but not too long. And it's the word organic, because there is a lot of striving, when it comes to going deep with God. I'm going to strive to go deep with God. When in actuality, in order to truly go deep with God, you've got to let go. You've got to allow it to happen. It'll happen as long as you are not resisting, as long as there are no obstacles to confound the process of going deep. All right, so abiding is the root word, and here's your first blank. The root word is translated, the root of the word translated abide in John 15 is the Greek word meno. This word is used 118 times in the Bible, and meno is intensive in origin, which means there's a deeper meaning to it than what is often thought of or used. Abiding can be used several different ways. I can't abide that. Means I can't tolerate that. But that's not the abiding that we're talking about. The abiding that we're talking about is indicative of a relationship, and it more specifically is practicing of presence. I abide with my wife. if I didn't abide with my wife, there would be troubles. Because it's more than just spending time. I can spend time with my wife without abiding with her. It's an intimacy. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of vulnerability. It speaks of availability. It speaks of listening more than talking. So much like the way that we use the word love, we love everything from our family to the chocolate mountain cake at our favorite restaurant, and the word was intended to mean something much deeper and more meaningful than our typical day-to-day use of it. The same goes for the Greek word meno. Meno means to continue in a place, to remain stable or fixed in a state, and to stay, to remain, enduring, to wait for, to be held and kept continually. Now you apply those to a relationship, and it starts to kind of paint this picture of intimacy. To continue, to remain stable, to be fixed, to endure, to wait for, to be held and kept. To be held and kept. To abide with God, to be held and to be kept by God. Man, there's some days when I really need to be held by God. And I don't necessarily always feel like I am being held and kept. So, there are 5 different Greek words for abide that use this root word. Epimeno, which means perseverance, in continuing to do something. That's consistency. That's the word that I would use. It's being dependable, reliable, consistent. Katmino, constant residence, frequent resort. Paramino, to continue, used to express confidence in abiding with a person. It's I like the word confidence. It's kind of faith. It's having confidence in God, having faith that he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he can do. Hupomino. I'm not sure how to pronounce all these. To remain in a place instead of leaving it, to persevere. Prosmino, persistent loyalty or continuance in doing something. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me, which you probably are a lot like me, I automatically start assigning these to me, to myself. Well, I need to be more continuance. I need more continuance. I need more dependability. I need to put this on my radar, and I need to put this on my schedule. And that's true. But also, I need to recognize that in God. Because an abiding is a two-way relationship. And now God is desiring to abide with us, have a deep relationship with us. But there's some times when we assign our human inadequacies to God. And we say, well, God doesn't want to abide with me because I've done something that has created an obstacle. And so I'm going to hang on to this obstacle, and I'm going to focus on, I'm going to fixate on the obstacle rather than allow God to abide with me. See, I'm doing that, not God. And allowing God to abide with us is just as much as us choosing to carve out time to abide with God. Oh, no. Okay. Abiding is not visiting or dropping by. spend quality time. It's not back and forth. It's not temporary. And it's not giving up due to being tired of waiting. Ooh. What abiding adds to the Christian, to the life of a Christian? Deeper connection to God. Greater peace and joy. An abundance of fruitfulness in our life. Fruitfulness. Look at that. How to master the art of being of abiding in a chaotic culture. Avoid the adversaries of abiding. Apathy. Anger. All your to-dos. Absence. We've got an alliteration going on. Make a commitment to abide. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It's investment. It's talking about investment. Now, this idea of avoiding the adversaries of abiding, apathy, anger, all you do, absence, these are obstacles. Okay, we were talking about a lot about obstacles, and the idea of avoiding apathy, I'm not exactly sure how you do that. If you can figure out how to avoid apathy, maybe by staying plugged in, maybe by allowing the fruit and the testimonies and the stirring up of others to allow you to be stirred up. Maybe that's a way to avoid apathy and to avoid anger, being quick to let things go. Sounds like a pretty good idea. All your to-dos. There's a strategy for that I can share with you in just a minute. And absence. That's just a matter of being consistent. But one thing that I have found to be essential for this idea of abiding is to maintain a sense of wonder. I'm a kids pastor. I'm all about kids. I've taught kids. I'm the assistant principal at a school with kids. And one thing I can tell you about kids when it comes to God that they've got all over us is a sense of wonder. A sense of you know, I looked up the word wonder, and there are three definitions, and every single one of these definitions, it works. The feeling of surprise mingled with admiration, caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. How many times do we allow things to filter by us on a regular basis, and we don't even stop to wonder, to just marvel at the hand of God in that situation? Allowing that situation or that thing or that whatever to just kind of percolate in our soul a little bit. Just taking the time. And we're not talking about, well, I'm going to make a discipline about being wonder, about exercising wonder. No, just take a moment. Just start noticing God and thanking God. Thankfulness is part of this wonder, this idea. Dig up the soil of thankfulness in your life. If you want to abide with God, be thankful to him for just the dumbest little things. I honestly, when I wake up and I don't have a gray cloud hanging over my head, like who's the Peanuts character? Like Woodstock. You know how Woodstock always has this cloud of dust? Pigpen. Woodstock's the bird. Yeah. Okay. Pigpen. Thank you. 10 bonus points. Okay. And you know, there's been a long time that every day I woke up with that cloud just surrounding my head. And now when I wake up and I don't feel that, and I notice that I don't feel that, I say, thank God, thank you, God. Thank you, God, I don't feel like that. It's just, when I walk outside and I see stars, can you look at stars without having a sense of wonder? Because I can't. Every time I look at the stars, I think, God loves me, and I am so thankful. And maybe for you it's sunsets. Maybe for you it's that fresh, cool air on your face. Maybe it's a big old buck walking out of the woods. Or whatever it is. A big cup of coffee. I mean, fill in the blank. What is it that makes you just fills your heart with joy? And don't forget to thank God for that. Abide. Abide. Recognize his blessings. All right. Oh, I was going to tell you the other two, wonder. The other one is desire to be curious to know something. I wonder about that. Are you curious to know something about God that you don't know? Because I am constantly curious. And the last one, feel doubt. I'm going to duck from the tranquilizer dart at that one. Is it okay to feel doubt? Is it okay to doubt God? I certainly hope so. Quite honestly, I don't think that God is petty. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's not petty. That God, he's okay with our doubt. He's okay with those mornings that we wake up and say, really? Really? I'm supposed to turn the other cheek to that jerk? Really? Because when we ask the questions, he answers the questions. It's dialogue. And there's nothing more than your God wants than to dialogue with you. So I think he welcomes doubt. Yes, sir.
Wait and see. I already know what's coming. You don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming. Like, my daughter's in high school. She's a freshman. She gets so wrapped up in all these things. And I keep telling her, when you graduate high school, you probably won't talk to 98%.
It doesn't really matter.
It matters right now because that's where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going through, right? So having the perspective to deal with it right now, well, that's a. But it's not as big a thing that you're making it have to be. And it's funny how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fine. Just wait and see. It's all about the perspective. You know, our perspective is so narrow, and his is so wide, infinite. You know, and I feel the same thing. I feel like I throw temper tantrums. And God is just like, come on. You're okay, little guy. We're going to get through this. I'm all right with that. All right. Oh, I'm so out of time. I warned y'all. Okay, A, keys to abiding. A, like Jesus, arrive at your certain place consistently. It is very, you know, here's the thing. Your certain place is more for you than it is for God. Because we are creatures of habit. And to have your spot where you create your little nest and you bring your coffee and you have the sun on your face, I'm just pretty much speaking for myself, and you're comfortable in that spot, that is good for you. That's good for your soul, to meet with God consistently and to have that routine and to have that comeback, that always, that ritual. That's good for you. So develop the ritual. Develop a ritual, not that is going to be like a thorn in your shoe, but like a good pair of slippers. And whatever it is, get your tea, get your coffee, get your blanket, and wrap up, or whatever. Find that sunny spot, and be consistent with it, because it's good for your soul, and it's your chance to dialogue and to receive from God as much as you are talking to God. You want to hear from God, and you want to give yourself that place to just kind of sink in. So arrive at your certain place consistently. Luke 11:1, then he was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. I'm going to jump the bullets if you're all right. Be aware of his presence with you throughout your day. As we said, practice thankfulness. Say it out loud. Say it loud and proud. God, thank you for, and fill in the blank. It can be dumb. It can be, I forgot the word I was going to use. But it was a good word. You'll have to take my word for it. It can be profound. That was the word that I was going to use. It can be profound or it could be simple. It doesn't really matter, just as long as you mean it. Just as long as you are thankful for it. Recognize. Don't you look at me like that, Miss Carly. All right, when connecting with God, ignore all notifications and distractions. Turn off notifications. Get away from people or things that cause distractions. I'm going to give you a pro tip that I learned from my wife. I actually did learn this from my wife. Here it is. Get yourself a little notebook this big. And when you are settling in to your time, put that notebook, open it up, and put it right here. And when those intrusive things come, and they will absolutely come, and you remember, I have to buy dog food. I have to sign my kid up for swimming lessons. I have to make a phone call at work. I have to whatever. Write it down on that pad. Just take a moment. Write it down. And then push it off to the side, and then refocus. Because that stuff will be there when you're done. But if you don't make a note of it, it's going to keep on playing in your head, and it's going to be nothing but distracting. And you're going to say, I just got to go take care of that before I go on. And it's going to interrupt your time. So write it down, push it aside. If something else intrudes, write it down, push it aside, refocus. Okay? Next one. Develop a sacred rhythm. The phrase spiritual rhythms is a way of talking about the traditional Christian practice of establishing a rule of life, an intentional arrangement of spiritual practices, attitudes, and relationships by which I regularly and routinely make myself available for God's work of transformation in my life. Okay. When you get into a routine that is comfortable and good for your soul, it starts kind of doing something to you. And when you adopt this idea of thankfulness, of practicing thankfulness and practicing wonder and admiring God's creation and admiring God's gifts and thanking him for all of this, it starts to kind of soften you. It's like putting lotion on. And That softness is exactly what this is talking about. Routinely make myself available for God's work of transportation in my transformation in my life. The preparation precedes the purpose. And God wants to use you, but he does not want to use you more than he wants to prepare you. And he doesn't want to use you before he prepares you. That's a dangerous recipe. So allow yourself to be prepared. Allow yourself to be softened in the process. Emit the fragrance of his presence wherever you go. And that's kind of going back to this, that last one. When you are in a sweet spot, you can't not. Your spirit just kind of oozes. It's kind of a bad word to describe the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit oozes out of you like a pimple. You ever watch Dr. Pimple Popper? Anybody? Admit it? Oh, it's addictive. It's so gross. I guess I'm one of the weird ones. Just like, oh, that's so horrible. Anyway. Tranquilizer. All right, but yeah, once the Holy Spirit really begins to flow in your life, you can't not have a different presence. And people notice. It's about being available. This woman's act of woe, okay, oh, hey, I'm jumping. Okay, I'll finish this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, her sacrifice, her affections. It was it's a wonderful picture to that, isn't it? Her affections created a fragrance. Her relationship, the product of her relationship with Christ, created a fragrance that everybody could recognize. This woman's act of worship caused a lingering effect in the house. Notice that verse 3 says the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Our clothes smell of where we have been. Mexican food restaurants, the bar. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't know that. Everyone there, left smelling like her expensive perfume, her offering of worship. May the fragrance of our worship fill our homes, our workplaces, wherever we go. Acts 4:13, when the council saw the boldness of Peter and John and could see that they were obviously uneducated non-professionals, they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. Being with Jesus will do something for you. It will do something to you. Abide. Let's end in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these people, for this opportunity that you've just unfolded for all of us to just kind of relax our arms. God, there's so much of us, so many of us that are carrying so much. And our arms are just tired. Our shoulders are weary and aching under the strain of what this life tries to load us with. And God, all that tries to steal what you want and what you desire to pour out in our lives, to pour through our lives. God, there's so many obstacles that we have to contend with. Would you please give us the wisdom, give these people the wisdom to chip away at those obstacles, to create an unhindered flow of your Holy Spirit through their lives. Like a garden hose that blasts the mud out so the water can run freely. May that be our lives and your Spirit running through us. God, just fill us with your presence. May we find that place of rest where we can just sink in and just appreciate the moments that we have with you. That we can just let our guard down, drop what we're holding, and just let you just massage our hearts. Thank you, God, that you don't give up on us. That there's nothing that we can do to be unworthy of abiding with you. That you are constantly the Father on the front stoop of the house waiting for his child to come and abide. Thank you so much. Oh, in your holy name, thank you for your sweet presence right now. In your holy name, amen.
That was awesome. Thank you, Jason. Let's give Jason a hand. That was good. One thing real quick that I just wanted to recap on with that he mentioned was, if you need wisdom, ask for it. And I was able to find, it's in John 1:5. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. So, just that was good stuff, Jason. We thank you for that. Look in your books just after the fill in the blanks. It's Faith in Action, page 5 in this book. I don't know if it's page 5 on y'all's. It's Faith in Action. To fill out those questions during the week this week, and we will pick up with that next week when we open up. We'll look at your answers there. It's 4 questions. So just go through that this week. Be looking through that and fill in those. Real quick, also, on each table with your book, you should have a Bible reading plan. If you would, just make sure you read through the section of scriptures that we have for you this week, and we will bring that up, and we'll see what, I'll maybe ask a few of you what we got out of the reading this week from those, so just kind of reflect on that this week. Make sure we do the Faith in Action, and if you have kids, make sure you go get them. They'd probably appreciate that. I try to leave mine every week, but they won't let me, so I got too many, I guess. But let's just make sure we're back next week for another teaching from Jason, and we'll see y'all next week. Y'all have a good rest of the week, guys. Y'all are dismissed.